May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Today, I want to talk to you about Dorcas or Tabitha, a woman from Joppa and a disciple in the early church. And especially, I want to talk to you about her needle and her thread, because these are the two items this woman used to serve her community. Dorcas used her needle and her thread to make clothes for widows. Widows were quite underprivileged at that time. And sadly, one day Dorcas falls ill and she dies. And we find that the only spectacular event in the account of her life is that Dorcas is raised from the death soon after that. But have you ever wondered how she continued her life after that? I mean, just think of Dorcas being raised from death and going back to sewing on buttons on a dress. And compare that to David fighting a giant with a sling, or Paul shipwrecking and swimming to an island. Compared to that, Dorcas's Christian life looks, well, might I say, boring or very ordinary at least. So didn't God really waste a miracle here? Why did he raise her? Were there not other people in her own generation who deserved to be raised from death much more than Dorcas? What about Stephen, the first martyr? While being stoned, Stephen asked forgiveness for his murderers. Wouldn't it have left these fellows dumbstruck if Stephen just got up right after that? So why Dorcas? How is this woman significant to you and me today? How does she make a difference to you and me? Why did God decide that it's important to know her? And why does God think that Dorcas has the caliber to play in the same league like St. Paul, David, or Peter? Have you ever thought about that? Well, the flaw of our approach, of our series of questions, is that we are looking at all these people from a completely wrong angle. When we look at St. Paul or David, who basically are our heroes of faith, who fill so many pages of the Bible, we look at how wonderfully they labored for God. We seem to highlight their success, their decisions, their courage, their vision, or exceptional faith. But when we look at it, when we analyze it, it becomes more and more evident that they were only able to handle the issues the way they handled it because of what God did through and for them. Look at David, for instance. God trained David through attacks from bears and lions long, long before he ever heard of Goliath. And St. Paul, he was forgiven for going from door to door to find Christians, to get them arrested and executed. He was forgiven for standing there and approving of the stoning of Stephen. And he was forgiven that he went on his way to Damascus to find even more Christians and get them killed. So today, I think what God really wants us to do is he wants us to look at Dorcas. He wants us to look at her needle and her thread. And he wants us to know how much he honors those who serve him honestly. The miracle of raising Dorcas has nothing to do with the exceptionality or ordinariness of her Christian life. It only has to do with God honoring her. It only has to do with God showing how much he cherishes and appreciates those who make a true effort to love him. And theoretically, we know all these things, but when worries, disappointments, and downsides of life creep up on us and seem to take the upper hand, we might wonder if our efforts really make a difference. Do they make a difference? I mean, what about those times when you deeply regret a terrible mistake you have made? When the person you have hurt won't forgive you? And you seem to have lost your reputation and life beyond repair? How does engaging with a quarrelsome colleague at work make a difference? Or what about those times when refugees are trying to break in through each and every border they can find? When governments seem to fail to come up with good solutions? And in midst of that, the lifeless body of a 3-year-old boy is washed ashore the Turkish beach. How does serving here at St. Ursula's make a difference then? Yes, agreed. It's often difficult to see a direct cause effect of our Christian service. And I agree that nobody would take note of it if you suddenly decided that you won't spend a couple of hours helping your elderly neighbor set up his internet connection. But if you do, if you take the effort to be there, to go the extra mile, to do the seemingly unimportant work, to do the unrewarding work, God will definitely take note of that. And this is exactly what he is telling us through the story of Dorcas. We often feel we should be able to show an astonishing record of perfect service, high numbers of people who come to church, and every person whom we talk to should somehow feel that they want to know Christ better. But isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that Jesus, in his 3 years of ministry, was not offering perfect service himself? At least not according to human standards, which would presuppose a 100% success rate. Jesus didn't heal every person he met, and he didn't raise every dead person in Jerusalem, and he did not convert every person he talked to. So it's not true. It's not true that we need to be successful always. We really don't need to be perfect in serving God. But we need to be excellent. And there is a huge difference between perfect service and excellent service. Let me explain. Something which is perfect cannot be blamed because it's completely free from faults. It has all desired qualities and hence is always the solution to every problem you can find. In contrast, something which is excellent might be blemished, but it is outstanding because of the passionate way it is delivered, and it absolutely satisfies the need. Let me give you an example to drive home my point. When my one-year-old daughter, Adrielle, plucks a flower for me, she often holds it so tight that it's all crushed by the time she hands it over to me. As a result, the flower won't be perfect anymore. It won't be in its original form. But to me, it's the most precious gift I would ever covet to have. And in my eyes, it's the most perfect gift she could ever give me. And in the same way, when we make an honest and true effort to serve the Lord, it touches His heart. The service we do might not be without blemish, and there is certainly room for improvement, no doubt about that. But through God's grace and love, and through His eyes, everything we do becomes perfect. So, to conclude, the next time when we go quietly to do our service, when nobody thanks us, and nobody is taking note, and nobody is giving us standing ovations, let us remember Dorcas. Let us remember her needle and her thread, and let us remember that sometimes a needle and a thread are all we need to do an excellent service for the Lord. And above all that, let us remember how much God honors a service which comes from the heart. And let us also remember how much He is capable to use our service for future generations, to think about it and to learn from it, the very way we learned a whole lot about sewing on buttons from Dorcas today. Amen.